You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modgepodge.
Hodgepodge?
Hodgepodge.
Modgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me for the last time for a while, I think, here in the broom closet, Matt, the armchair analyst Doyle, and David Goss. I'm a little wistful there because it's been so nice having him here. We can see him face to face. Our jokes land better or land at all, you know, one of the two. But
not selling that one.
Continue to say lit. I think if Doyle leaves, maybe you'll stop saying lit.
I've decided that I'm no longer. Although, you know, with the Jack Harrison cut, I think I might be able to now say lit, and it's legitimate.
Very early for a midlife crisis, but I'm proud of you for getting there.
Look, we got a big show for you.
It's the first of many.
No guests. Yeah, look, if anybody's going to have multiple midlife crises,
yes,
it's going to be me. Decision day is over. The MLS regular season is over. The playoffs are about to begin. The stakes are high. I mean, I'm exhausted, but I'm going to have to find a second win because we have another, month and a half left to go here in the MLS season as the playoffs roll on. Audi 2016 MLS Cup playoff brackets are at your disposal at MLSsoccer.com. I mentioned on the last show, we have a league. Extra Time, it's pretty obvious. It says the official Extra Time Radio League, so you should be able to figure that one out. But go join it. We'll give out some swag for, I think, first through third place. And you're probably looking at, like, MLS Live for 2017. I think that's a pretty good one. Let's see, if Kevin Brown's, insight is any indication, you'll probably be the next armchair analyst. We'll just boot Matt and you'll just replace him. There's a lot at stake there, but it'll be a lot of fun. We'll kind of go through it the same way you would during March Madness. Look, there will also be Facebook Live shows you can watch as this postseason goes on, so tune into those. And the knockout round does start on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the first leg of the conference semi is on Sunday. But before we get to all that, and we will talk in depth about those games on Wednesday and Thursday in the second and third segments, we got to talk decision day because this was crazy. 20 games, 10 teams, all at the same time.
Other way around.
20 games. 20
teams,
oh, man.
10 games.
I told you I was tired. Like,
actually, it was a bunch of intra-squad scrimmages.
Yeah. They brought the USL squads up.
Everyone's
Red Bull 2.
Whoa,
yeah.
Dude. Don't knock a champion
I'm
right
not
now.
Knocking a champion.
Watch your back.
Red Bull 2, USL Cup champions, took down the Swope Park Rangers. So a trophy's already been awarded
watches
here. Dab God got a goal in this one?
Yeah, it was filthy.
Yeah, it was a good one. Let's start with congratulations. Congratulations to FC Dallas, the 2016 Supporters Shield champions. They've already got the double, U.S. Open Cup, and now the Supporters Shield. They did it in it was a scoreless draw. They played defensive. They went and got the result they needed. Colorado drew 1-1 with Houston, so it didn't really matter. They were going to get this thing. But they celebrated, and they celebrated in a lively way for good reason, Matt. It's a big thing for this franchise.
It is. It's a big thing for any franchise. I know most would prioritize MLS Cup, and I understand that. But to me, to be the best team over the course of a regular season from March to the end of October, that's huge. And they've done it despite selling their second best player and losing their first best player to an injury last week. They've done it by developing their draft picks and their homegrown players and the guys that they signed from South America, by playing, I think, shorthanded up top a little bit because they don't have that, you know, guy who can go get you goals on the regular. They just kept grinding it out. And to me, what's nice about this is that it feels like the culmination of a project. It doesn't feel like, oh, the team got hot at the right time.
Or we went out in January and our owner was like, you know what, here's 10 mil. Go splash that cash.
This was, all right, you know, this was Oscar Pereja coming. Say, okay, we have Matt Hedges and Walker Zimmerman. Let's build them into the best central defense in the league. Let's, you know, let's draft and stash Ryan Hollingshead in a church. And then, you know, when he comes back to the team, he'll be our jack of all trades.
That's an underreported story.
Yeah, it really is.
Wow.
Let's do all these little moves right so that we don't have to make huge moves or so that when there is a huge move like Fabian Castillo being sold, we have the cover that we need.
And that also goes to culture, too, that you create within a team. It's not just about, oh, we have the right players. Because if you don't have the right mix of players, it doesn't matter. And you saw over the course of this season the amount of investment that this team had, not only in the results and what they were doing on the field, but in each other and in Pareja and in that project. And that belief is not that easy to instill, whether it's in a team, whether it's in a workplace, whether anywhere you go. That's hard to have people band together like that, and they did it. And you heard Kellen Acosta after last night's game saying, this is for Dallas, man. Like, we had setbacks this year, and they almost knocked us down. But in the end, here we are, 60 points on top of this thing, and you can't prioritize MLS Cup till you get there, till the playoffs start. So they'll hold off till Sunday, but incredible, incredible stuff from FC Dallas.
And even before Acosta, Pareja said, his first thing he said when Bobby Washer interviewed him on the field was, I wanted to win this to prove that what we were doing can also win soccer games.
Yep.
All the things you talked about. We talk about that. Pareja has mentioned it but hasn't keyed on it. Mm-hmm. And now you know that he has thought about
yeah.
it. And he wanted to prove to MLS, to people in the U.S. and Canada, that you can win with young players, yep. that you can develop young players. That was really cool.
It was. And by the way, doing it 72 hours after they had to haul down to Guatemala, get a result there. After going 2-0 down, they come back with 5 unanswered. What an absolutely remarkable week for this franchise. Oscar Pareja has got a huge future. I hope it's with the U.S. national team someday. But if it's not, you have to think that he will be on the radar for his home country of Colombia. Or maybe even Mexico.
No Mauro Diaz, obviously, in this one. That's a reason why people say they might not be able to go win MLS Cup. As we hit the second and third segments, we will go through each and every team, all 12 still alive. We'll tell you why they'll win it and why they won't win it. Because part of this playoffs is that there are weaknesses with every single team. You know what? We talked about family. Go look at the pictures on FC Dallas' Twitter feed. Hmm. They went to Mauro Diaz's house last night and celebrated
the
with
wee
him.
Small hours.
Yeah,
of the morning.
I mean, I can't believe he was awake, but maybe he had a little heads up. That's the sort of thing that you just, you know, I can't imagine that happening in a lot of other leagues and a lot of other places, many other teams.
Yeah,
that's really special stuff.
It was pretty cool to watch. He comes out on crutches, you know, he's got his right foot in the or right leg in the cast and everything, and they just go berserk and spray him with champagne. It's well-deserved. That said, I would be probably about 15% jazzed about the playoffs if Mauro Diaz was still healthy. Dallas are not as much fun to watch without him.
The league is not as much fun without him. Colorado, no supporter shield for them, but still an incredible season. A 1-1 result with Houston. Marlon Harrison, the god, with an assist here. 3 goals, 6 assists, and 14 starts, 21 appearances. Last year, what'd he do? Well, he played 3 games.
Yeah. I think it's 3-7 now. Either way, he has been a guy to provide answers for them with his ability to provide consistent service from out wide. I think he is the exciting young U.S. attacker that not enough people in this league are paying attention to. Like, you know most of the other names, and justifiably, but if you look at Harrison, he brings it every single week, and it's working out pretty well for the Rapids.
He's also going on the drink list. He and Patty Mullins are certainly on that drink list. Marky Delgado, those are all ones, if Doyle here mentions that. Whether it's coffee at your desk or a little water.
It's like a Benetton ad. Man.
Also, Marky Delgado, you can't actually drink because I don't think he's 21 yet.
No, he is.
Oh, he is 21
yeah.
Okay. I was just making sure. I just want to keep this all straight.
Yeah,
otherwise,
for sure.
Otherwise, you have to go apple
really
juice
point.
On Marky
Delgado. Congratulations to Bradley Wright Phillips, who won the Golden Boot. We'll talk about that in just a little bit here. Before we get to that, we have to talk about the tire fire that was the Portland Timbers' trip to Vancouver. A lot of people saying, and I think, Matt, you might have been one of them, that, hey, they're going to knock that duck and they're going to go get it done. You don't bet against Caleb Porter this time of year.
I said the opposite.
And 4-1 result later. I mean, this was embarrassing.
This was. This was. It reminded me of 2009 when Toronto FC came to Giant Stadium on the last day of that season, and the Red Bulls were a miserable team that year. And all Toronto FC had to do, I think, was draw, and they were into the playoffs, and they got beat like 5-1.
Yeah.
They didn't show up, and that's what it felt like for Portland. And it was so bad because it came on the heels of a 1-1 draw at home against Saprissa on Wednesday, which knocked them out of, which knocked Portland out of the CCL, and because the loss to Vancouver by 3 goals, they lost Cascadia Cup, which they came in leading.
3 trophies, 4 days. CCL, MLS Cup playoffs, Cascadia Cup. They not got not they got dropped out of all three of them in 4 days.
And it's the polar opposite. It's the polar opposite team building philosophy of FC Dallas. They don't have any draft picks other than Darlington Nagbe that they've developed over the years. Look at how much they spend on guys like Steven Taylor, who has not been good.
Lucas Milano is a really obvious, clear example as well.
Absolutely.
But I think the issue for them is they've hit as well, right? Adi's clearly a hit. Chara's clearly a hit. Maddox has looked good, and I think if
Maddox
they
has
keep
looked good,
him,
but
Maddox is not a difference maker. Maddox is, you know, he's not a reason you're in the MLS Cup playoffs.
No,
stopgap.
Rodney Wallace was a difference maker for them last
year.
They didn't develop him. They got him off they've gotten some guys. And look, Valeri is one of the great signings in league history. I think Diego Chara, fantastic signing. I think Liam Ridgewell's been really good. I don't know if he's DP level good. But he's been mostly really good, and Adi has been DP level good. You got those right, but as Dallas shows, if you want to build, and I think Red Bull show it as well, and you know a few others, if you want to build a cohesive team that can compete year after year you need to get those young, cheap players. This is a salary cap league. You got to play a little bit of money ball. You got to get those guys and develop them over the course of the years so that they're ready to step in games like this. Portland doesn't have that.
What you just said, though, the ability to be consistent is why Caleb Porter should not be going anywhere, because this is an up and down league. You can go up and down quickly. Look at Colorado and look at what Portland's already done, and I don't think you have to rock the boat that much. They just need to hit on those signings. Steven Taylor was a mistake. Losing Viafania and not really replacing him with Vitas was a mistake. But if he gets those right, you're all of a sudden looking at second seed in the West next year, because the talent and the core is there. The spine is there.
Look, we thought that this year was going to be the year that Darlington Nagbe went from super exciting player that everybody thinks is going to be amazing to the guy. And it didn't happen for him with the Timbers. It didn't happen for him with the national team. On a lot of levels, this has been an extremely disappointing follow-up to an MLS Cup campaign that was pretty disappointing until the very end last year for the Timbers. So an off-season of questions to be asked. We'll, of course, be talking about those later on. On the other side of Cascadia, Seattle, 2-1 winners against RSL. They're now in the fourth seed. They're going to host a playoff game. Ben Bear has been just getting blown up on Twitter by people who don't know his name. Come on, the Research Bear, guys. The Research Bear. It's kind of catchy. You can remember it.
I don't know that people know that how he spells his name, and I don't think people understand totally what's going on in the research.
Bear being his last name, B-A-E-R, so he's the Research B-A-E-R if you've got to have it spelled out for you. But look, this is a big result for Seattle. Roldan gets a goal in this one. J-Mo Smith, a nice little back heel pass to Flacco at the back post. I mean, a goal 3 minutes in. Huge result for them, huge turnaround for them. They get to host this game at home. They got to be feeling good. They got to be feeling like, you know, with – the holes FC Dallas has because Mauro's gone and Fabian's gone. With Colorado, there's question marks just about the goal scoring. I feel like they're right there. Like, this season that was one that had perhaps disaster written all over with Oba gone, Dempsey getting hurt, the terrible form for so long. I have to believe it has a real possibility to be their MLS Cup breakthrough.
I think that they should have some hope for that for a number of reasons. First, the defense is really good now, and it has been for the past couple of months with Roman Torres in there. Second, you can win on set pieces. If you have Nicolas Lodero and you have Marshall and Torres in the box, you are a threat on set pieces. Third, I think the biggest thing that we saw yesterday was Flacco Fernandez getting forward and just being clever around the box. He doesn't have to be Clinton Dempsey. He just has to be another guy that Morris and Lodero can work with.
Yeah,
exactly that. And that was the first goal for Seattle, that beautiful back heel from Morris.
And everything he does is going to be isolated because no one's going to give help.
Right.
Because you can't give help off Lodero and you can't give help off of Morris. You just need an entity there. You can't have a zero.
Somebody to occupy.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Somebody to occupy.
Which is also what I like Roldan, but I think that's a lot of what Roldan did as well, was just keep his man honest and just keep the ball moving when it was in his part of the field. And the first goal he sets up, he just lays it off for Tyrone Mears. But Mears gets an open overlap because your man stays with Roldan. He's spaced well to give Morris room to operate. So I think that's the biggest question, is how do you use Roldan going into the next round?
And we will break that down, of course, in the third segment. We talk about the Western Conference. RSL on the other side. Yeah, they rested some guys, Yura, Javi Moe, Burrito down the line, but they are winless in seven, just like the Union. Their form is pretty awful, and we'll really have to get into that here later on in the show because they got some real questions to be answered if they want to do anything
in this postseason. And Joao Plata getting hot at Jeff Cassar after getting
subbed out. He was not happy about getting pulled off.
As a fire. And he slapped Tyrone Mears in the face early in that one.
He did open-hand slap
him. I don't know if we'll hear from the disciplinary committee on that one, but I'm a little surprised, given that Ozzie Alonso just got a red card for that 2 games ago, that Plata was allowed to stay on the field.
Some news to follow there for sure. Orlando with a big win, 4-2 victory against DC United. Look, DC didn't play a team of first team. No, they were first team players. They did not play their starting 11. Ben Olsen said, you know what? We're not going to mess around with this. We know that we're probably going to be playing here.
And it worked
midweek.
Out perfectly for him.
It was such a risk, though, because this like
they're terrible on the road. They've got 2 wins all year on the road.
Yeah, and like if Montreal had won, then DC would have had to go up to Stade Saputo.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Philly and Montreal have no momentum right now, and I don't know that they have a lot of confidence. And I think he looks at those and says, if we're not going to play TFC, we can beat both these teams.
First of all, momentum is not a real
thing. Yeah, right, but it's an energy
thing. But second of all, Montreal came into yesterday, into decision day, with a three-game unbeaten streak, including 2 wins.
But the last game was a tie where they were ahead at home and couldn't hold on, and then Drogba didn't show up, and that's all they had to talk about.
By the way, no Drogba against New England.
And then they lost to New England yesterday.
They got run off by New England.
Yeah.
Right. 3-0. Run off.
Right.
So,
it
worked. It worked, and that's fine. And we'll go into those games and talk about why that worked and maybe why we still think that they are in a good place. I mean, look, if you don't believe in momentum, you should be good, right? Because they've been really good for the last 2 or 3 months. So it's not about momentum.
I believe in inertia.
Okay. We're finding different words for it here. NYCFC also had some nervous moments. They and Toronto FC were trying to get out of the knockout round, and both won, but 2 wins meant NYCFC get that bye, which they need for those quote-unquote experienced legs that they have throughout the spine of their side. Toronto with the 3-2 win against Chicago, so nervous moments here. Once again, the defense, it's not what it was earlier in the season. It really isn't. And on the other side, NYCFC, some nervous moments until late, and then Patrick Vieira throws caution to the wind a little bit, and they run off 4-1 winners.
Well, that caution to the wind's name is Frank Lampard, by the way.
Yeah, but he also switched to a 4-3-3, which Columbus earlier in the year had absolutely torn to shreds. He really gambled a little bit. He started off in a 3-4-3 that maybe played like a 5-4-1 just to gum up the middle. Vieira's an interesting coach, man. He's done really, really well this year.
And he was so energetic and excited. Vieira scored to make it 4-1 in the 92nd last kick, and he was screaming on this.
He was jacked.
And it's like, that's the connection that you can see. Like, he's involved. He's invested.
And it reminds me of how into it Thierry Henry was during his years with the Red Bulls. And it just makes you think of all those great France and Arsenal teams and why they were always so hard to beat.
And what training was like.
Yeah.
Good like, Lord.
These guys get into
it. That's the lion's den.
We got to get Thierry back in MLS.
We got to go find somebody and tell us some stories about that that'll really be open about, like the trainer or something like that. A 4-1 win. David Villa falling short in the golden boot, but he did hit 2 posts, kissed like a little right-footed chip off both posts.
And picked up an assist, too.
I know. That might have changed the golden boot race. In the end, it was BWP. NYCFC, they're going on to the conference semis, don't have to mess around with the knockout round. And then, of course, Toronto FC will host their first ever playoff game. First ever, Philadelphia Union on Wednesday. It'll kickstart the knockout round in the MLS Cup playoffs. That's on ESPN2. If you want to watch that one, I'm sure you do. We'll talk about that one in the second segment. Before we get out of here, though, I just want to talk about the Golden Boot. Actually, I have one note before that. Sporting KC into the playoffs. Portland got smoked, so it was 3 of 4 teams, and once Portland gets smoked, the other ones are in. KC with a 2-0 win. We'll talk about them a good bit here later on. But BWP, his second Golden Boot, he's now, I mean, where does he stand in the top echelon of MLS goal scorers?
Best 3-year run by miles in league history. I think the previous best was 60 goals by Wando from 2010 to 2012. BWP's at like 68, I think, for the last 3 seasons. He's done it with 2 different primary creators. And you could argue Wando's case in that
one. 2 different styles of play as
well. 2 different systems.
Yeah.
Yeah. does it without taking PKs, though I don't know if that's like a notch in his column because he doesn't take the PKs because he's not Canada. but he's a complete, like, the goal scoring is easy to point out. He's a complete forward. He's a much better passer than people give him credit for, and his work rate defensively, not just his work rate, his brain defensively is one of the keys to that New York press. What a great signing. Like, in the history of MLS, getting a guy like that for basically nothing that first year and having him turn into
And paying him basically nothing that first year. It was a complete flyer. Look, the Red Bulls win again. They've won two of the last three on the road after being
1-14 or something.
Like Portland Timbers-esque to start the season. And they haven't lost since July 3rd.
Yeah.
Which
to New York City FC.
Obviously, my Red Bull friends text me and go, it would be so Metro if the winning streak ended. But I think right now they're sitting very pretty because when you look at the loss of Mauro Diaz and the questions around Colorado, they have to think that if they can get in, there's a really good chance that they could host MLS Cup for the first time. And I think they match up well against everyone in the Eastern Conference.
Only the top two in the West would keep them from hosting. When we come back, we will tell you why the Red Bulls and everybody else will win MLS Cup and also why they won't. There are a myriad of reasons. Just a reminder, Audi 2016 MLS Cup Playoffs Bracket Challenge. Go join the ETR League. You have an opportunity to win a trip to LA in the Super Draft in 2017. With that, let's hit the break. We'll be back with the Eastern Conference Breakdown.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Agony beyond power of speech. When the one thing you want is the only thing out of your reach.
Back on Extra Time on radio.
How are you even coming in? Do you want me to just turn it
back? You can just, you know. Sometimes you got to pick your battles.
Hey, also, I think this is a good song for post-decision day.
I agree, actually. You know what? I agree. That's why I sighed, because there's nothing I could really say about it. Back now to talk about the Eastern Conference. The knockout round is coming up on Wednesday. Toronto and Philadelphia. Get things started, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, Unimas, and TSN2 up in the Great White North. I said it, the Union are without seven games without a win. Jim Curtin kind of smoked them, and he smoked himself in the postgame press conference after their loss this weekend. They have not been playing well. More bad news for the Union and Union fans. Maurice Adoo broke his leg in training. No contact injury. Just terrible news. I think over and over this year we've talked about, well, when Mo comes back, it's going to be a while once again. Just terrible luck for him. But they still have a massive game on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, DC United and Montreal, also at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This one on Unimas, and then RDS2 up in Canada. Let's start with the first one, guys. You got to be crazy to bet against Toronto here, right? I mean,
yeah.
You really do. You look at what the Union have been doing, their form across the board.
We asked Ziggy on the live show, can you give us one reason to pick Philadelphia in this one? And he just, no. There really isn't.
No, it's kind of
– what they would say, Wade, is if Toronto gets frustrated because they don't score early at home and Philly's got some size on set pieces. I mean, that's the whole form.
Yeah.
There's nothing in open play that tells you that Philadelphia can win this game in Toronto in a one-game playoff.
Now, the one thing, look, we said it. Toronto's defense has been a little bit leaky, and when you're giving up a couple goals to the we're not playing for anything right now, you know, wooden spoon Chicago Fire, that's an issue, especially in a game that you need to win to go on. So there are some weaknesses, and people have been able to get in behind that back line, and they've moved things around. They played the 3-5-2, which they've done this year, but they're not completely set as far as shape and outlook. So
when you look at the first goal, Deleuze goal, the understanding of the three center backs, quote unquote, of where they should be is terrible.
Yeah.
And Deleuze comes into a channel that if it was a four-man back line, everyone knows, the center back knows he's shifting over to mark that spot. Michael Bradley's lost in the whole play, and Deleuze.
Clint Irwin also should have.
Right, but
Deleuze
comes
shot.
In untouched to 6 yards away from the goal. And then has the opportunity to shoot. And I agree that Clint Irwin should have done better. But That can't happen.
Yeah.
That can't happen in a postseason game, and that shouldn't be happening in the last game of the regular season.
No, but the thing is, though, even if that does happen, and look, it could for Philadelphia, they could put up a couple of goals because, I mean, Chris Pontius is inverted left winger,
and
just
they,
like
and they
David
rested,
Akam.
They rested, and just him. Like, and, they rested him on Sunday.
And
so.
Just like Ignacio Piatti, who have lit up the Toronto defense over the past 2 weeks. I just, like, Toronto's going to go the other way.
Yeah.
If they give up three, they're going to score four. They have Giovinco back. He had a goal assist yesterday. Jose Altidore is still playing great soccer.
When Jonathan Osorio just starts weaving through folks and
the
hitting the left footer's top corner, that's
so
pretty
decent.
Jonathan
Osorio goal is phenomenal. The assist from Giovinco.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. That touch.
Unbelievable.
And just for him to have the like physical ability to be agile enough to turn and to get your body in a position to actually make the touch, but then to make the touch to the sideline and have and know that it's so perfectly weighted
that he can
that
look
you
up.
Can get your head up and pick a guy, and
it
then
looks,
and then your left foot's good enough that you're just going to put it on his head.
You're like, watching it and you're like, that ball's going to roll out, and he has his head up like you said the entire time, just waiting to find his guy because he knows. It's exactly what he's doing.
He knows where the ball's going. Yeah. This leads us into, you know, I think we can all agree. We think Toronto are going to win this game. That's probably a pretty safe bet. I think maybe the most relevant discussion right now is MVP around Giovinco.
To me, he's the MVP.
I agree. Yeah. He's the best player in the league. He's the most productive player in the league. He missed five or six games. I think if he plays those five or six games, there's no telling where he ends up as far as production because we know this is a guy that can just go out and knock a hat trick.
But being there is part of it. Part of his MVP run
but
last year was his durability.
They finished third. They took a step up. They barely finished out of second.
But if he doesn't miss five or six games, they probably win
support. Sure, okay, and doesn't that explain his value?
Oh, well, now we're getting into the whole Peyton Manning got hurt and they won two games, so he's MVP. That's a whole nother argument.
So who's the competitor?
If it's not him, it's David Villa.
Mm-hmm. None. You had no shout for the Red Bulls at all.
Wait a minute. I just want Red Bull fans to know that David Goss is wearing an NYCFC
he's
scarf
a citizen.
As he's saying.
New York is blue right now on my shoulders. No, because they take away from each other, BWP and Sasha, which is fine. But Villa did it. Lampard wasn't there for a while, and he kept them afloat.
Yep.
He's the emotional leader of that team. He was the experienced leader of that team. He's second in the golden boot for a team that, you know, no one expected things from it. They've had really large down points of the season. So I think Villa is. And I think whoever comes out of the East, and it could
so
be
so you're
one
saying
of those
David
teams.
Villa for MVP. You're jumping on the bandwagon. Or you're saying he's the competitor.
He's the competitor for sure.
Okay, so yeah. I'm putting you on the spot. Where's your vote going?
He's 1A. Right. I don't have a vote.
Well,
so
if you had a vote, if you were going to try to influence my vote.
I don't like to talk about democracies hypothetically.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make
sense.
That's
at all.
Facetious. Jeez. Okay. All right. Reasons. We're going to hold off. Maybe later in the show.
Maybe.
I know guarantees on this show don't work out.
Just
maybe.
One point. Giovinco's the first person in league history with back-to-back 15-goal, 15-assist seasons.
That's
so even with missing five games, he's pretty decent.
He's the biggest difference maker in the league by far. I think he's the best player, as I said, most productive for sure. Reasons why Toronto will win? I think it's Giovinco, right? I mean,
Giovinco, Josie. Yeah. I still believe in the defense. I think Clint Irwin's a better goalkeeper than he showed on Sunday. I think they are. You could argue them going to MLS Cup.
Why'd they lose, though?
So the one thing that I want to ask you is, it's a three-man central midfield with Bradley Deeper and Armando Cooper in front. Does that make any sense for this team? Is Michael Bradley a defensive midfielder for this team?
Yeah, he has been all year.
Mm-hmm.
And is that when they're at their best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Armando Cooper and...
Cooper has been really good individually. He's had some good moments. I don't think he quite fits defensively yet, but that's the risk you take when you add a guy midseason. And I think maybe that a little bit of disorganization in midfield, if we want to go back and actually answer the host's question.
I don't.
A little bit of disorganization in midfield and that right side of their defense. Eric Zavaleta got torched by the Red Bulls in mid-September, has not been the same player since, and teams know it and are going right at it.
That's my answer as well. That midfield.
That'd be the reason why.
It doesn't look dominant, and it doesn't look ball dominant. And
okay, here's the hard question, though. Reason why Philadelphia Union win MLS Cup.
I'd like to phone a friend.
Because one of these guys actually gets hot, right? Alberg or El Seno.
Alberg is a guy that could just come out of nowhere.
They have the
physical talent.
Answer.
Andre Blake goes full Tony Meola 2000 and just,
I don't know if that's enough.
Just starts pitching shutouts.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be enough. That's what we're giving them right now. Let's talk DC Montreal, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Unimas RDS2. That's on Thursday. Remember, one East, one West. each of the days on Wednesday and Thursday. DC United rested their guys. They should be spry. They should be good to go. RFK, the old ladies, getting another game, which is always fun. I think DC's the favorite here, but I don't think it's as big of a gap.
I do.
Okay.
I think DC's one of the favorites in the East right now. I think they're the one team in this round that has momentum, which we don't want to talk about, right? Of the bottom four teams in the East, they're the only team that's coming in on strong form, a team that's confident thinks that they're gunning for. And they use a lot of different pieces to be good, which means if someone has an off day, other people can pick them up.
The other thing, look, and you've just convinced me, basically. Thinking through your points, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And
then if Piatti doesn't show up, Montreal has no chance.
No, certainly. And we know Simon's going to show up in the sense that he's going to be playing, and I'm not sure who they'll play next to him. But either way, those guys are super vulnerable to my guy, Patty Mullins. Mm-hmm. So, glug, glug.
I mean, Mullins scored a towering header over that central defense last time they played. Kai Kamara and Juan Agudelo, who are both big, strong center forwards, dominated Montreal's starting center defense. The Impact used their backups in midfield and front line. Their defense, they went with the regulars, and they got smoked. Last week, Jose Altidore absolutely smoked them. Last year, same central defense, Kai Kamara knocked them out of the playoffs. Yeah. Like, you got to like Patty Mullins' chances of at least being a problem for Montreal in this one.
I think we just answered the why Montreal won't win MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Why would they win MLS Cup?
Nacho.
Yeah, I mean, Piatti is the Piatti, Mancosu, Oduro frontline combo actually works really well together.
I mean, it's a counterattack special.
The other two guys hustle.
It's so perfect for it.
Yeah. The other two guys hustle. And Piatti at the beginning of, was it this season when they looked really good? When Oduro stretches the field, there's room for him to operate, and he's lethal. He just needs that space. He can't.
And Mancosu's figured out how to be the guy who either gets in the channels or does, you know, finds a way onto the ball in space and then holds it and waits for those two. He's not always going
to
be a dynamic goal scorer,
no,
but he's
he
smart
have
and, he,
to be, yeah.
and he gets his head up. And that's, I think, why you see Mauro Biello play a midfield that's like three really slow dudes who just sit in front of the center backs.
All three of whom can pass.
Right.
And that's what you want. Yeah. You know, if you're going to play that deep, let the ball do the work. Let the front three get out and run. Don't worry about trying to be tiki-taka. The other reason they might win is because Didier Drogba off the bench for 20
We're
minutes
still,
a game.
I don't even know. We can't even discuss this because we don't know what the heck's going on here. He may be back. He may never be back.
There are some reporters up in Montreal who are like, he's played his last game for the Impact. I'm holding out hope.
Well, that could also be a reason why he wins. They win.
Right.
You know, they prove it. Like, hey, you know, it's not just Didier. It's not just Didier.
And
it's us.
Well, you said, why does Philly win? And we mentioned some names. It probably won't happen. Piatti is good enough that if he plays at that insane form over the playoffs, they could actually go to Cup. So this one's a bit more realistic.
Right. And DC win, why? DC win because they're the hottest team in MLS? Because, as you said, they have...
Yeah, they have an identity.
It's like a 3-4-prong attack right now.
Yeah, they have an identity, and they have a lot of guys that will chip in. And I think that they're a group that has something to play for, similar to Dallas, to prove that they can be successful in this league.
To me, they have skill players at every attacking position. Guys who can finish, guys who make smart tactical runs, and guys who especially can pass. Acosta pulling the strings as a number 10. Sam on one side, Patty Nyark on the other side, Mullins up top. Jared Jeffrey making those really good late runs out of central midfield. That team is dangerous.
And
tell me why Nagel's
been useful.
Yeah, he has.
Oh, better than useful.
Tell me why they won't win.
Because I don't think their defense is quite so good. I love it because they've been playing so open, and it's made the games really entertaining. But teams are scoring on DC, even as they're winning these games. They're giving up a lot of goals.
What about the New York teams? Let's go to the 1 and 2.
Why?
I think DC, I mean, look, they've got some weaknesses, but right now it's more fun to talk about the strengths. And come on, I just want to see a good game.
So were you asking strengths or weaknesses of the New York teams?
I'm saying the Red Bulls. Yeah. Why do they win it?
They win it because they learned from last year of how to handle teams that sit back on them, and they don't get over frustrated, and they stay patient, and they stay strong defensively, and they grind out low-scoring series, which is exactly what they didn't do against Columbus last year.
Does that jive with you?
I mean, it's an interesting take. I was just going to say they win because they're the best team.
But they were the best team last year.
Fair.
Yeah. But you know,
but they could have won last year.
But the
year
odds,
too.
The odds are funny, BWP man. MLS Cup, 12 teams, anything can happen.
I think Royer and Damari, if they win, will have something to say about
which
it.
Which they haven't.
Not Brandon Allen. He has championship game experience.
Yeah, they did. They piled on with their late. Why won't they win? It's probably this late game collapse thing. It's the goals at home, because if you do that and you still win at Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, a 3-2 win over the Crew last weekend. That's not a great result in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm close to a disaster, actually.
It's not good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so that's their weakness. On the other side, NYCFC are equally susceptible to that exact same sort of result. And I think that's where you would go. I mean, it's pretty obvious why they wouldn't win MLS Cup, that defense.
Especially on set pieces. Yeah. Nobody gave up more set piece goals than NYCFC this year. Nobody scored more than the Red Bulls, so that'll be interesting in the playoffs.
Come on,
if they meet.
Let us have a New York derby. Let us have a New York derby in the conference
finals.
God,
such East Coast bias.
I know. It's like you guys all live in New York, except for you, but we'll count that. Why will they win, though?
Frank Lampard. I think the team, the way it's aligned.
You're stumping for David Villa for MVP, and then you're chucking down?
Because I think they're at this point where he's the piece that has to take them
over.
Gotcha.
Villa's a given.
He has to be healthy. And he has – I think if he's healthy, he's productive, because he has been in his entire MLS career. So I don't think that's an issue. But Pirlo isn't the guy that creates the opportunities for them. Lampard is. And if he's in that midfield and the fullbacks are strong, and I think they've figured something out at defensive midfield and have a couple options, goalkeeping is a tough one. And
we didn't mention it. Vieira did switch his goalkeeper. He went away from Josh Saunders in his final game.
Last week of the season.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So, but that's why they will.
All right, that's the Eastern Conference. Wednesday, Toronto, Philly, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, Unimas and TSN2. On Thursday, D.C. and Montreal at 7:30 Eastern on Unimas and RDS2. Of course, the West rolling along as well. We'll hit those knockout round games after the break.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Extra, extra, read all about it. You think you slow me down? I highly doubt.
Back on Extra Time Radio. Nothing's going to slow us down except for maybe lack of sleep, because the playoffs are coming. The Audi 2016 MLS Cup playoffs kicking off on Wednesday and Thursday.
But the best part about the playoffs, by the way, decision day is a little overwhelming.
No, you're right. It was
really
hard.
Now you get to next Sunday, for 8 straight hours, you're going to lock in on a must-win playoff game, which is the best part.
Yeah, no, it is really nice. And there's no overlap. I mean, he's shirtless right now.
Me?
I want you to know that.
I didn't even bring a shirt to work today.
He's glistening because the playoffs.
This is why we don't have a YouTube stream of the show.
This is exactly why. Wednesday in the Western Conference, LA, RSL, 3-6 seeds, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Unimas and MLS live. On Thursday, Seattle and Sporting Kansas City at 10 p.m. on FS1 Unimas and MLS live up there in the North. LA, RSL. You know, we keep saying, hey, RSL, you know, when they have their big guys, they're really good, and, you know, that's all well and good, but if you don't have them, then that's a real problem, and that's probably the reason, or one of the reasons, why they wouldn't win MLS Cup. I think the other is the midfield it's not perfectly constructed for this 4-3-3, right? I mean, I'm not sure that they cover the ground that they need to cover, and it puts the back line in danger, and it's a young back line. It's in places unproven back line.
Yeah.
RSL got some questions.
They do, and I mean, I think you kind of hit on all of it. But the biggest problem for me, it's actually less the defensive aspect of that midfield than it is the fact that there's no connection between it and the front line. I think they scored yesterday. It's just their second goal in their last 6 games.
Yeah,
it's all individualistic stuff. It's all 1v1 from the flank and hope for a miracle goal. And Joao Plata, Burrito Martinez, Yura, Javier Morales, when he pushes up, can occasionally conjure that, but that's not the way you consistently win games.
No.
This team's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, but I also think that's part of the problem with Javi Mo. You know, that back-to-front aspect, he has to cover too much ground, and that takes away those number 10 qualities and that energy he needs in the final third and the time and the space and
qualities
the
runs. Qualities that Luke Mulholland clearly brings to the game.
Hey, Luke Mulholland had a nice deflected goal this weekend.
He did. You know, he made the effort to get into the box, and But, like, seriously, that's what he's going to give you is right.
There's honest effort there. So I think we probably covered why they won't win. And I think the why they would win MLS Cup, and it's a long shot for them, just like it is Philly.
Jao Plata.
Yeah, and Brito and Yura and Javi Mo. Maybe they tap into a historic vein of form there and just drag this team.
I mean, if they sit deep and Plata gets a chance against LA, they could take a lead. So you could get a lead in a one-game playoff. You could win a game. I don't think they could do it for five games. I don't think they could get to MLS Cup the way that they're created, the way that they are playing right now.
And LA win because you don't bet against Bruce and Landon in the playoffs and Robbie and all these guys? Or, I mean, what's a little bit more nuanced take on that?
I don't know if there is one.
It's purely just these guys have the history and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing great. Their defense has been better over the last few weeks, I think, since they had that team meeting. But they're not playing great. They don't transition, particularly well from defense to attack, which was always the calling card. And there are still gaps that you can find against this team. I'm not answering the question, am I?
No, we're not. No.
Jossie Zardes comes back and just tears through the Western Conference.
See, I like that one. That's a good answer.
That's why they win.
And that could be a difference maker. I think Jossie has that capability, not just on his own, but as the piece that unlocks other pieces.
Yes, exactly that. Right. Like if you put Jossie and Gio Dos Santos up top,
right,
that team will outscore you 4-3.
Yeah,
I think that. I mean.
Why won't they, though? Why is this perhaps a flameout for
Because
LA?
You won't have Jossie and Gio Dos Santos up top. You'll have Robbie Keane as a lone striker, Gio Dos Santos on the right wing, and I don't know.
Because they're going to give
other
up
pieces elsewhere. Maybe Steven Gerrard will come back.
Yeah, and I guess those are all the reasons. Because no one knows what their best lineup is still. And you're not going to figure it out in the playoffs. And I don't know that they're the team that guts out tough wins. So obviously, Bruce has that experience. I know he
calling
does.
Calling him out.
There it is. I mean, I like the pieces of some of it, but I haven't seen
it. I like
him.
The talent. I don't like the fit.
Yeah, like Ashley Cole's been good. Yelly Van Dam is definitely in the conversation for Defender of the Year. And I'm like a huge AJ De La Garza fan. I mean, I would take him to Mars and conquer Mars because I trust him that much.
I'm just trying to imagine that scenario.
I don't know how we got there, but that's
boy.
Big John Carter fan over there.
Yeah, Monday mornings with Dave. I don't know what you had for breakfast.
This is what happens when you get me up.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Thursday, Seattle and Sporting Kansas City. This one at 10 p.m. Eastern on FS1, Unimas, and MLS Live. Sporting Kansas City, I mean, I think it's fair to say that they've been scuffling, but they got a result here, and Benny Fellhaber actually has been on form, which you haven't really been talking about because it still has kind of been ugly from them.
Everybody's talking about how he, you know, kind of announced that they're not negotiating a contract with him. And since he announced that in the last 11 games,
would have thought
two goals, nine assists.
Yeah, boy, motivation comes easy.
He sent an MLS Live account to a few European teams.
Really? Yeah, I was like, who's this Benny at AOL that keeps asking me for an unlocked account? Like, right. I don't know you.
If you look at his numbers last year, he had 10 goals, 15 assists, and was justifiably in the MVP running. This year, 7-13. So he's been productive. I don't think the defensive effort was there until about September or so. I think
he hasn't been as influential as he was.
I agree. But he's definitely. I mean, he was definitely influential this most recent game. And Graham Zusi, back from the dead, scoring a banger of a goal. They need that so bad. They need one of those wingers to come lift the burden off of Dom Dwyer.
I mean, both these teams kind of have a similar issue in that they have the lone striker up top that's going to occupy players, physically dominant, really good, can create something out of nothing. But it was about that third option.
Yeah.
So you have Ladero, and then you have Fellhaber, and then what do you have? Is it the answer on KC's side?
Right.
Is it Zusi if he comes back? We're not sure. Flacco, et cetera, on the other side? I mean,
the reasons that KC will win MLS Cup is, I think we mentioned in the second segment, defending and set pieces.
Yeah.
They can score on set pieces against anyone. They don't get blown out.
Although who are their targets now?
Well, Benny Fellhaber has the service.
Okay.
Yeah, you could say
I mean, when they had Ike, who was playing normally, I would believe that. But now I look at that team, and I'm marking them, I'm like, I'm cool. I just got to mark Dom.
Yeah.
No, I disagree, because if the quality of service is there, it's just got to hit off someone's head and go in.
Well, I agree, but their head has to be there.
Yeah, but Beisler and Ellis and
they're none of those.
Not
guys.
Beisler.
I mean, they're not.
I'll give Ellis. I'll give Ellis.
Big. Yeah. But and Ellis, didn't he score in the playoffs
Ellis,
last year?
Ellis finds a way. Ellis, yeah. I will give you Ellis. I won't give you Beisler.
I just think that they don't get blown out, and so they are in games. And you never know what's going to happen if a team gets nervous.
And it's worth noting, like back in April and May, SKC went on a run of games where they were losing or drawing because they just kept making dumb mistakes with the ball at the back, five or six in a row. And if they had gotten, you know, five or six more points out of those games, we're not talking about them as, oh, this kind of uninspiring team that got into the – we're talking about this really good defensive team that scrapped out goals and is having a home game. And I know ifs and buts and all of that. But, like, I do think that Sporting are more the team that they showed to be on Sunday than the, you know, than the team that they've showed.
In saying all of this, Seattle's going to win.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm saying I didn't, like, argue that. Okay.
The question is, will Dom Dwyer Cobra Kai kick someone to the Ghiblies in that game,
you know,
like he did to poor Fatai Alashe?
Yeah, Fatai Alashe. We also didn't talk about Kendall Waston's
cup check.
Yeah, what's the right way to put that? Yeah,
the MVP of Portland's day was Fernando Adi's cup.
Yeah, just Waston throwing punches, Adi going down. That was an interesting play there. But Seattle, look, we talked about it. They're on form here. They have some belief. They've dragged themselves from, you know, Ben Bear's doghouse all the way into the fourth seed.
God, I can't believe he's getting away with not.
I know.
You guys have to bring him in for the mailbag.
We're going to do something. We'll find a way. We'll punish him somehow. We'll hit him on Twitter, and we'll just let people have their field day with him. But why are they going to win Cup? Is it Lodero Morris? Is it?
It's Lodero and Ozzie Alonso. They have it. They can do it both ways.
I'll throw Chad Marshall and Roman Torres in there as well.
They can beat you 1-0, and I think they can. I mean, we saw what they did to L.A. They can beat you 4-1. So I think they can play in both ways. They obviously are going to have home field advantages in those games. They're going to be the lower seed, so they're actually going to get to start series. Kalen was on the show and said, I actually like to host first game because I like to beat a team and
set
put that
tone
in their head.
Yep.
So I think all of those things. But Jordan Morris is a rookie, so we don't know how he will perform in the postseason.
And is that the reason why they don't win, or is it a bigger reason? Is it just kind of the... You know, the fact that if you do clamp down on Lodero and you say, we are not going to allow this guy to have any effect on us, they can be a little bit predictable?
I think that's part of it. I think they were way less predictable when Lodero was starting on the right instead of starting in central midfield. But, I mean, that's not they're not going to go back to that look. I think, to me, it's open play goal scoring. I'm not sure I 100% believe in Jordan Morris in the playoffs. And I think Flacco was more opportunistic. Herc Gomez, you know, he hasn't scored in a long time.
No, he did.
Here's why they're going to win.
He scored last week, I think.
It was waved off. Incorrect.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And Nelson Valdez. That's why they're going to win. Valdez is going to get hot.
I just would say, that's where I was going, is all of a sudden the post turns into netting. And
he scored in last year's playoffs.
He did.
I'd like to throw Brad Evans out there as an X factor because he's got experience and he can play all over the field. And I think if you say to yourself, how do I get Lodero in the right position? You put Brad Evans wherever you need to move pieces around, Evans can play any of those spots.
So Brad Evans is the answer, not Jacob Peterson.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes. Lots of answers here. Before we get out of here, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. 2 of 12 road teams in the knockout round have moved on. It's been since 2012 since the last time that happened. Our own friend Kalen Carr's Houston Dynamo. Do any of the road teams, Sporting Kansas City, RSL, Philly, or Montreal win on Wednesday or Thursday?
No.
I think it's 2 of 16. The one that would surprise me the least is SKC.
That's what. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna go
less to Seattle and more to SKC.
Right. I was thinking Montreal just because I could see them just bunkering like crazy and then having two or three opportunities
break,
and then just being
the
like,
break,
okay,
yeah.
boop, yeah. lock it down. So we'll see there. A couple reminders for everybody before we get out of here. Audi 2016 MLS Cup Playoffs Bracket Challenge. I'm going to say it over and over because you got to go fill out this bracket if you want a chance to go to the Super Draft in 2017 or if you want swag from us, an MLS analyst's job. I mean, it's not that glamorous. You know, like we did a full live show yesterday and
must
then you had to
cats.
Go back and read. Is that a requirement?
It is, 100%.
Okay. All right. Taquito, we're not giving up Taquito, but you'll have to get your own cats. Two of them, preferably, who hate each other and who will fight on air. That would be really, really useful for us as well. Facebook live shows, pre- and post-game. For all these games, Jordan Harvey is going to be here on Wednesday, the Vancouver Whitecaps
player of the year.
Yeah, outside back. We're going to ask him what was he thinking when he gave up that PK this weekend. No, I'm just kidding. We won't ask him that.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Sean John will be here on Thursday. We'll ask him about what it's like to drive a Lamborghini for a year and also, you know, Eastern Conference insight as well. And then we're thinking maybe, just maybe, Kai Kamara and Kellen Rowe will drop by. I've already booked you, Dave, for a dancing lesson with Kai Kamara, just so you know.
Okay. Did I lose that poll or did I win that poll?
Oh, we never talked about the poll. You, I think with the twerk, you would lose the poll. You won the poll.
I just want to throw this.
I take that back. Yeah, none of the above won the poll.
I just want to throw this out there so everyone knows, and I was keeping this in my back pocket. I have actually won an official walk-off at a fashion show, and I did it with the Dougie. There's video proof of it, which will potentially show you, but probably not. Mm-hmm. So
we will tweet
it
from the Extra Time Radio account.
I have background.
I think he just convinced us.
Yeah. I mean, look, your background is going to be really useful for the twerking.
Yeah, for sure.
That's going to really help you in that sense. If you're confused right now, we did ask who would win in a dance contest, and somehow Dave won it. I lost. I'll admit it. I lost.
Andrew made us all give a reason why and why not. Each of us would win.
What's the reason why you'll win the dancing contest and the reason why not?
Doyle's disorganized in the midfield. Everyone knows that. Yeah, his hips don't follow the rest of the body.
Hips lie all day.
Oh my God. I think that's a sign for us to get out of here. Big thanks to you guys. Wednesday and Thursday. Check with us on Friday. That's when the show will come. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.